the fourth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and we have four left. 3 days behind us, and we're looking forward to the future, to being with Yahweh in the millennium, in the New Jerusalem, during the Feast of Tabernacles, and throughout the seasons, whatever type of seasons that will be in the future. We only have a glimpse. We don't know exactly. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard the heavenly beauties that are waiting for us. Those who are trusting in Yahweh and obedient to Him, who are being immersed, who are immersing themselves into His Word, who are being immersed in the Spirit, those are the ones who will persevere unto the end. Those ones will be with Yahweh in His feasts, in mighty Yahweh's annual feasts, the Feast of Passover. What a fantastic thing to look forward to. Tabernacling with Yahweh, of course, at the end of the year, but and all the other feasts, every Sabbath day, every new moon, not only here in the kingdom of Yahweh, because Yahweh has His people now, and they do gather together, so I call that the kingdom. I don't know if that's technically correct or politically correct or anything, but some people preach against a philosophy called the kingdom now philosophy. Okay, so I'm a little concerned about that, but we know that Yahweh tabernacles with us, that He's in us, so this is the kingdom of Yahweh to me, but it's certainly not physically face-to-face with Him yet. By that time is coming. We are reading from Psalm 107, and we had started at the 30th verse. They then are they glad because they be quiet. Speaking of the winds, He makes the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Psalm 107, 31. Oh, that men would praise Yahweh for His greatness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also, exalt Him during these times, the Feast or Tabernacle, or any time, any day of the week, in the congregation. So not just by myself, in my wee little wilderness spot, or tabernacle spot, or in the car, in my house, or in my room, or something, but with others who believe in Yahweh as well, who believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, with those kind of congregations, and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turns the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. I don't think I put the punctuation in the right place, but anyway, that was just a review. Now to that psalm, that great psalm about the Torah. It's also a song. But Psalm 119, 119. And what is it? I think it's 176 verses. So let's get all the way near the end there. Verse 169, where it says Tau, one of the Hebrew letters. Verse 169, let my cry come near before thee. I like that pronoun thee there. It's more devout to not just call him hey you. Agreed. O Yahweh, give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. He's teaching us His statutes now as we study His word. We're getting faith as we read the word. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thy hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, or maybe a better word is deliverance. I have longed for thy deliverance, O Yahweh, and thy Torah is my delight. Yeah, I'm like Paul. He delighted in the Torah of Yahweh too. Not just in loving myself, loving my neighbor, but he delighted in the whole law. Let my soul live, let my body live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. How can His judgments, if He's going to condemn me? No, that In the King James, it says judgments. Some of the modern versions use a better term. That doesn't mean that the modern versions are good throughout. You know, that doesn't condone the using of the Alexandrian scriptures. The Alexandrian scrolls, you know, out of Egypt, out of Mithraim, out of Sin, to produce what they call scriptures or Bible, not at all. But they did use some updated, better terms in some other scripture versions. So we will continue here reading from Psalm 119. I have longed for thy deliverance, O Yahweh. Thy Torah is my delight. Let my body live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments or privileges help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Well, we do forget them if we don't rehearse them often. We're rehearsing here at the feast, in our cabins, in our Sukkot, our booths, here in our bodies, our souls, our temporary tabernacle. If I can eloquently at least say that word this afternoon. Oh, what lovely weather during the Feast of Tabernacles. Somebody would say, well, it rained so hard there for a while. Well, but what does the rain bring? The rain brings blessings. It causes us to want to, you know, rise up and say, thank you, Yahweh, that you gave us former and latter rain and physical rain. You caused green things to get greener, not turn all dry and ugly. Psalm 140, verse 13 is next, that he causes the fruit of the earth, you know, to bear fruit. You know, trees and all these wonderful vegetables, fruits, other things that people have brought here to the Feast of Tabernacles. And bless them for doing that, and it sure is a blessing. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell, or tabernacle, in thy presence. The upright will do that. Surely the righteous shall give thanks. For what? For the substitute name? No. For thy name, his actual name. However, that is actually spelled YHVH in the Tetragrammaton, not W. The V came first, according to 26 references. I know I forgot to list them all. Somehow, on our site, Yahweh, not Yahweh, it only got 18 in there. It used to have 26 of them, so we're going to put those back on sooner or later. Oh, please wait for just another minute. Okay, we're 8 minutes into the broadcast. Wanted to make sure we were still on the air here at the feast. Hopefully, we all made it. Psalm 140:13 once again, which said, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. And then now is the time Isaiah paints a rosy picture of tabernacling with Yahweh in the future. You notice how I'm even relaxing my voice. I'm not self-conscious, and I can't wait either. No, not even a peon like me, somebody who my dad said that I'd never amount to anything. And, you know, in a material sense, he was probably right, but spiritually, he was wrong. I am so glad that Yahweh has placed his name in me and given me his Ruach HaKadosh, his spirit, and invited me to, you know, to the heavenly places, to with others, with him and with others, and to attend the feasts, and to get good food and sleep and fellowship and exercise, you know, enjoy a type of heaven here at the feast. So Isaiah, tabernacling with Yahweh in the future. Isaiah 65:17 through the end, the wolf and the lamb. 65:17. For behold, Yahweh says, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying out loud, you know, complaining and all that. There shall be no more thence. An infant of days, now we're getting into the last great day here as far as this particular verse is concerned, but we can read that now too. There shall no more thence be an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Try to figure that out. Now, don't do that. Don't try to figure it out. It's not one of a silly mystery. Now, I don't believe in that Yahweh is giving us something in Scripture that we can't figure out. But we're looking forward to it. And those who die in Yahweh prematurely, before even being able to understand Hebrew or English or any language, they die without even knowing the Savior. I think that Yahweh is going to give them the opportunity to hear the evangel before he asks, the big question. Do you want to accept me as master and savior and deliverer, as your commander in chief? Or are you going to rebel like the angels, like the messengers that he cast out of heaven? You see the book of Jude. That's a contemporary. That book of Jude is applicable for the time that it was written back there in A.D. 70, approximately, as it is today in 2010. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. Shall they? Maybe tabernacles would be a better word there. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of Yahweh, and their offspring with them. If we started off, in verse 11, then we could, if you at least look back to verse 11 where we started here, that this is talking about the future, about the millennium, and after, but it's not something that's already been fulfilled. It's not something that's already occurred. This is future. This is prophecy. Yahweh says this will come to pass. A lot of these things you can look at, this prophecy, and you'd say, well, certainly that hasn't happened yet. I don't see the Hebrews or the Jews, the northern tribes, or the southern tribe, the house of Yehuda, I don't see them being blessed that well. If anything, it's the opposite. They're not being blessed. They're being cursed. They're almost, bringing derision to his name. But that was because the choices they made to live that way and to be cursed. But they're not all that way. Even the non-messianics, non-Christian type Jewish people and so on, we can't judge them and say, well, they're not saved. And on the other hand, we can't say that they are saved. We don't know that, but you can look at their works and say, well, all they need to do is hear about the Messiah, read Isaiah 53, and they'd, if they rejected that, then of course their hearts were stubborn, but we'd pretty much have to agree that, they'd at least have a chance at deliverance by Yahweh, by the blood of Messiah, not by works, lest any man should boast. They shall not build and another inhabit. 23, they shall not labor in vain or bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of Yahweh and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. So we still do need to pray, we always will. We can't just, carte blanche, just expect automatic answers to prayers. I'm saved, Yahweh loves me, now I don't even need to do anything. I'll just let him bless me. I don't have to ask for forgiveness for any sin because he's automatically forgiven me. No, that's a presumptuous, rebellious, non-respecting attitude that we do not... think that we have the privilege of coming before Yahweh and praying and asking for forgiveness of sins? It says in verse 25, has this happened yet? The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Well, it happens in these little game parks and things, that, you know, a zoo or somewhere. And the lion, but it doesn't happen generally. And the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my separated mountains, saith Yahweh. Or King James, L-O-R-D. Yeah, look up the word Baal there. And it translates Lord. But if you look up Lord, it says Jehovah or something like that. And it's kind of funny. Why would it, in one sense, it would translate into Baal, but in the other sense, it would not, when it's going in the reverse direction. Well, that's because somebody somewhere is not being honest. If you follow my line of thinking in that, okay? And if you don't follow it, that's okay too. Just let it go by the side for now. That wasn't the point. Let's see. So we were in Isaiah 65. Then let us not forget going back to chapter 40, verse 17 in our Tabernacles notes for this fourth day. Or you might be doing the broadcast at another time. That's okay. Just don't move Tabernacles to whenever it's convenient for you. That's not right. To just say, well, I'll just pick any day I want. Romans 14 says I can go out and do my own thing anytime I feel like it. And on the other hand, I can praise Yahweh whenever and set apart a separate day mandated by me. What are you making yourself? The Pope or something? You know, you can't do that, not according to Scripture. We can't have Yahweh's blessings if we are manipulating Yahweh around and trying to manipulate His Word to make it say what we want it to say. And that has been the trend with nominal Protestantism, evangelical Christianity, is that they have concocted their own customary ways. So I'm not going to harp on that too much. Just a little harping, if you don't mind. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. But the time is coming for Yahweh to, you know, open the gates wide. We will enter in through the gates of the city. That's the only way. We can only enter through Yahushua, some would say Yeshua, but, you know, we studied it more diligently. Yahushua, or Yahweh HaMashiach. HaMashiach is a title, means Messiah, or Anointed One, the Deliverer, the Savior. So, going from chapter 40, 17, this rosy picture of the future, it wasn't too rosy for some of us, if we're going to rebel. 35 is certainly going to be encouraging to our hearts. Chapter 35, and then back to chapter 29 for just one verse. Okay, 35, first 10 verses. You can read it too. If you could just kind of turn my voice down if you want. But it says there, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The esteem of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. Actually, in the King James here, Sharon, not the accent on the second syllable. They shall see the esteem of Yahweh and the excellency of our mighty one Yahweh. Strengthen you the weak hands and and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your mighty one, Yahweh, will come with vengeance, even Yahweh with a recompense. He will come and save you. He will, you know, save you from not only your present problems, but future ones. He's not going to take care of every little thing that we whimper about. But then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and symbolically as well. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. There'll be streams in the desert. Mm-hmm. And he is the well of our hope. Throw away the rocks. Get the rocks out of that well, and let's get the water pumping here. I was referring to a song, but that's later on, okay? Streams in the Desert, it was called, by Tim Smith, the Tune Smith from Portland, Oregon. The parched ground, well, I said it anyway, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, which, rather, where each lay, shall be grass with wheat, reeds, and rushes. Not weeds, but reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of separation. The unclean shall not pass over it. So here in the future, we still have unclean being unclean. It's not just that everybody is generically called to a universal church and to a universal savior that believes in universal things, that, you know, a mixture of all the religions. The best, what do they have, Ekankar? The best of all the religions in the world? No, that's not Yahweh's doctrine. His teaching or doctrine is to be separated from sexual immorality and also from idolatry and Sabbath breaking too. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of Yahweh shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed, now I'm adding to, here, this is a song, therefore the redeemed of Yahweh shall return, and come to Zion with singing and everlasting joy upon their heads. Repeating the 10th verse and a few words from the psalm. From the song, Therefore the Redeemed of Yahweh Shall Return. So that song has even more meaning here in the context of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Sukkot, or Tabernacling with Yahweh. Now, and especially in the future there may not be too far away, someone on YouTube was predicting that Damascus would be nuked by nuclear war in the ninth Roman month of the year 2010. And then another person came along and said, well, if it's not then, it'll certainly be 6 months later. But I don't know anything about that. You know, I don't live in Jerusalem. I don't know their politics. I don't know any of the Muslim leaders or Jewish leaders. But I'm predicting that those predictions are false, that he won't come until, and that these things won't happen until we get closer, say around 2020 or 2030, somewhere in the year 2030 and before and after those times there. And if it doesn't happen then, well, it's still going to happen. But I won't have to worry about it because I'll be gone. Where am I going? To the grave as a first stop, but then in the final... In the long run, I'm going to be going to New Jerusalem to go up with the Lamb and to all the other people who walk in the old paths, the old, obscure, forgotten, covered up, abandoned, ancient, not maintained paths, the old paths where we walk in His Word. I'm quoting from the Scriptures. That was Jeremiah, some say, the sixth chapter and the 16th verse, 6:16 of Jeremiah. Walk in the old paths, the old obscure, forgotten, covered up, not maintained, abandoned, ancient paths. To quote all the different like words. So, let's see, 29:18, to go back another chapter. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. So that goes right along with that song I was singing there. Therefore the redeemed of Yahweh shall return and come with everlasting joy upon their heads. We will know what His Word says because the Spirit will positively confirm The Spirit of Yahweh will confirm that His word is true. Well, positively, we have quite a bit ahead of us here. In fact, so much ahead of Isaiah, the grand book of the Feast of Tabernacles, that I think it would be wise if we do take another rest stop here, then we'll go to Amos chapter 5, okay? That'll be the next, we'll have a third file for today, or whenever you would like to use these files. And so we're going to stop right here for a second. At least I will stop for a second. But you can stop us as long as Yahweh will allow. And then when we come back together into teaching, into doctrine here, and fellowship with Yahweh, into uplifting His name, abiding in His tabernacle, and proclaiming and extrapolating, in telling what His name is to others, and broadcasting and publishing it, then we'll continue then, okay? All right, thanks. Feast of Tabernacles, right here.